The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. Just turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. And if you're visiting with us and don't have a Bible, please feel free to use the Pew Bible. And if you'll make your way in Luke, the page number is page number 885. You'll be with us as we look at that text. Our children, as you can tell, are making their way to Children's Church. So you can send your children there. They'll be well taken care of and be returned afterwards as they worship also. There's a note sheet that's provided, and if you'd like to make use of that, look with me now in Luke chapter 24, down to verse 44. They're in the upper room. This is the resurrection day, and Jesus is with his disciples. You're probably aware that Jesus had documented in the scripture or referred to 15 different appearances post-resurrection prior to his ascension into heaven. And in one of this is one of those resurrection appearances to the disciples in the upper room. And this is what takes place in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44 as he's speaking to them. And then he, that's Jesus, said to them, those are the disciples gathered in the upper room and any surrounding attendees, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The grass withered and the flower fades, but God's word, it abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you." Please be seated. Benny said earlier that John Wood, who I know you're going to be blessed by his preaching and ministry, is a long time friend. We actually went to high school together. And if you had taken a poll at East Mecklenburg on those liable to end up in the gospel ministry, I will assure you that John nor I would have been on that list. But God's grace is glorious. And John and I have not only been able to be in the gospel ministry, but we've been in the same accountability group for a number of years. And he's coming here to preach. This will not be his first time. And I know you will be blessed by that which the Lord's laid upon his heart. He's been praying about it, working hard at it to come here. Now, probably on your way in, you notice the three crosses that mark the beginning of our season, anticipating Holy Week and the celebration of the resurrection of Christ on Resurrection Sabbath that we are looking forward to, Easter Sunday. We're looking forward to doing that. Now, on that Sunday, it is my responsibility to preach a sermon on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm praying about it, looking forward to it, preparing it, and going to do it. And it's a habit that's here, not only a habit in our church, but a habit in many churches, that on that Lord's Day, a resurrection sermon commemorating the resurrection of Christ is preached. And that's pretty much a habit. Here's a question. How long has that habit been in practice? How long on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sabbath, have preachers been preaching a resurrection sermon? I got another question. Which preacher got this thing started? That's kept going ever since it got started. And what did he preach on that resurrection Sabbath? I know you woke up this morning asking yourself those questions. And so I want to be sure and give you the answers to those questions in just a few moments before you go home. the first preacher to preach the first resurrection Sabbath sermon that has continued ever since to this day. In fact, I've got the sermon. I'm going to share the sermon with you. But before I get there, Benny mentioned that John will kick off for us our global missions conference. How many of you know how many global missions conferences we have had at Briarwood? How many of you know? How many of you know how many? Would you like to say it out loud? 51. That's the people that remembered last year was the celebration of the 50th. And being like me, a graduate of a great college like East Carolina, you were able to add 1 to 50 and figure out this is 51 this year. This is our 51st. And this is long ago with our founding pastor and our founding members and our founding leaders. There was a determination that we were going to be intentionally committed to the point of asking God to make world missions a legacy ministry at Briarwood. And that has been the commitment carried out with that missions conference for 51 years of the existence of this congregation. And the Lord has been gracious. He has made this a legacy ministry. Praise His name. The Lord has done so in many, many ways. Last year was a most notable year. The 50th year became the first year that over 50% of our members participated in the Faith Promise giving for the world mission, for the world missionary faculty that we have and staff at Briarwood. Over 50% of our members, for the very first time in the history of our church, participated. We also, tied to that was the largest Faith Promise commitment that we've ever made. And by the way, the largest fulfillment of a Faith Promise commitment at the beginning of a year by the end of the year that's ever been done. And I praise the Lord for that. We were able to send out, now getting all the numbers to me. I'll get it to you later. All the members of our church that have gone to the mission field this past year. And it's very exciting. The number that God has called. Not only the missionaries we're supporting, but the very members that we are sending now. Also the enlargement of our missions team. And then God has also this year blessed us by giving us another missionary pastor to follow the ministry of Tom Cheeley. One that deeply appreciates what Tom has done. That is honoring what Tom has done. And is now already taking us to other vistas of where that will lead us in world evangelism and the commitment to send the gospel to all the nations of the world. And so the Lord has been very gracious to us, and I am thankful for that on many, many, many fronts. Did you know, look, for instance, there are churches right now being planted in Japan that we weren't even planning to be a part of, but because of the generosity and sacrificial giving of Faith Promise, we were able to do this year. In fact, there were 4 different countries that we were able to plant churches in this year that we hadn't even, you remember the brochure you got here? They're not even in that brochure. We not only got to do the hallelujah stuff, we got to go beyond that this year. So I praise God for that. I thank the Lord for that. I rejoice in that. But I know you. All right. Here's a preacher. He's got a butt. All right. I got a butt. Here's my butt. God gives us a great conference. Our people are embracing and have embraced Faith Promise and have made a commitment to intercessory prayer for the people and the missionaries and where they're going. And I am grateful for that. But do you know sometimes when you have a legacy ministry and God leads you to do things that He honors, it's very easy, without intending to start relying on what we do instead of Him. It's very easy to think, man, you know why we're able to do this? We got this missions conference that you wouldn't believe. Do you know why we're able to do this? Because you wouldn't believe the Faith Promise system at Briarwood. Where people say, okay, beginning, you're going to get a card this week where you begin to pray, Lord, by faith, what are you going to give me providentially this year beyond my regular giving? And when you give it, I will look to you by faith to give it. And then my promise is I'll bring it to world missions and then we will see it multiplied just the way Jesus does fishes and loaves. He's going to multiply this. And so I'm going to pray, and husbands and wives get together and pray about this, and parents get together with their children and they pray about it, and they try to seek God. What are you leading us by your Spirit as we pray through this to anticipate that you are going to give to us this year? And then we are going to make our commitment that what you get to us will get through us, and then it will be used 100%. to get the gospel to the nations. So, Lord, what are you going to do in that faith promise? It's very easy to start depending upon the faith promise or the process or upon the conference or so many different things that we are good things. But sometimes we start to look to them then. In God's kind providence, our global missions team looked at the theme of our ministry for this year called Led by the Spirit. And they said, we need to focus on that in our missions conference. And I cannot tell you how grateful I am that they did that, because that brings us to the one we need to depend on: empowered witnesses to the world. Where does that power come from? From the person of the Holy Spirit. Empowered witnesses. And Jesus knew that in our zeal, we can easily start to depend upon ourselves and our zeal and what we do instead of Him. So in His Word, He gave us not only our mission, but He gave us a mandate that was essential to accomplish that mission. So that's what I want to do. I want to take just a moment to talk about the mission and the mandate, and then one takeaway. What is the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ? I am so grateful that we don't have to go sit in a corner and contemplate our navel. What is our mission? We just go to the Bible, and four different times in your Bible, Jesus, with His last words, tells us what we are to do until He comes again. Here's what He says. He gives it in Matthew. He gives it in Mark. He gives it in Luke. And He gives it in John. Those four statements of our mission are given clearly. And then He adds a fifth one as He is about to ascend. He restates the mission a fifth time as He is about to ascend. Now, you've already this morning affirmed the Great Commission as He gives it in Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what He's saying is this: until the end of the age, when I come back and bring this age to an end to usher you into the new age of the new heavens and the new earth, until then, I've given you my command. And the command is make disciples. How are we to make disciples? By going, evangelism, by baptizing the believers and their households and enfolding them into the body of Christ, and then teaching them to equip them so that they can know all the things that He has commanded, the whole counsel of God in His Word. Now, listen, He said, I'm going to tell you something. That's your mission, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you an encouragement. You know what? This is impossible. Can you imagine sitting? I mean, here we are with and we hear something like that, and it certainly overwhelms us. But can you imagine what that must have been like in the upper room? You're going to send the gospel to the whole world and make disciples of nations? Can you imagine what that must have been? So how glad were they when He didn't put a period, but then He said, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you every day to the end of the age. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, He gives the same Great Commission, but it's the succinct version. This is the he's only got a few minutes, so here it is. Go preach the gospel to the world. So that was pretty simple. Go preach the gospel. What do you do? Go. What do you do? Preach. How do you do? What are you preaching? The gospel. Where do we do it? The world. So He gives it to us in a succinct statement in the Gospel of Mark. And then in John, here's the way He does it in John. He says this: as the Father sent me, now I send you. So what did the Father send Jesus to do? To seek and to save the lost. What does Jesus, who saved His people from their sins and ascended back to heaven, now send us to do? You go do what the Father sent me to do. You go seek to bring the saving message of the gospel to the lost. That's why we say you're either a missionary or a mission field. You're either a mission field to bring the gospel to, but once you're saved, now you become a sent one. Though that as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. So we are all missionaries. And that's why in our vision statement at Briarwood, we say that we want to equip every Christian to be a minister for Christ and a missionary to take the gospel of Christ to where you live and where you work and where you go to school and where you play and where you know people, that you become his sent one to that place. So he gives us this glorious great commission in Matthew. He gives it to us in Mark. He gives it to us in John. He gives us a summation in Acts. As he's about to ascend to heaven, he brings it all back into focus and he says this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what's the result of that? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. So we will be empowered. That's where our verse is. And I want to go ahead and tell you, our missionary verse, I'm not preaching on this morning. I'm preaching on the verses that lead to that verse. But I am going to preach on that verse in two Sundays when we make our commitments of how we're going to pray, how we're going to go, and how we're going to send. When we make those commitments, I want to preach on that verse then. But what I want to do this morning is take just a minute on what Jesus said that led up to that statement right before he ascended. What did he say to prepare us for that moment? He's already told us. Now, listen, you're going to be my witnesses with power. You're going to start in Jerusalem, but we're not going to start there. Then we're going to go to Judea and Samaria, and then we're going to go to the othermost part of the world. So what we have is this series of Great Commission statements that are given to us so that we stay on mission. Now, would you allow me something right here? This is purely pastoral. I'm going to put a parenthesis right here. This is our mission. Our mission at Briarwood is simple. Make disciples in our Jerusalem, Birmingham, our Judea, Alabama, our Samaria, North America, and the world. This conference focuses on our going to the world. That's what this conference focuses on. I also want you to know, as a church, we are constantly faced with challenges in a broken world. And there are valid responses that we must make to the challenges that come to us in this broken world. We have to deal with the issue of the sanctity of life. We have to deal with the issue of the biblical ethic and sanctity of sexuality. We have to deal with the biblical doctrine that has been given for the well-being of humanity, the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of the family. There is issue after issue. What is a government? What is a civil magistrate? And God's word is a world in life view. It's not simply a message for what you contemplate at 1 hour on a Sunday morning. It is a world. That's why we're doing this series on Sunday night that I think is so absolutely crucial. But having said that, this is why I said that to say this. We can never allow valid ministry initiatives to replace the mission. Pastors call that missional drift. We must always be ready to respond to the challenges of the day with biblical ministry initiatives, whether it's life or sexuality or marriage or what is the role of the family, the state and the church. All of those things, those are all valid and we must respond to them. But we cannot let valid ministry initiatives become our mission. Our mission is right here. Go and make disciples beginning in Birmingham, Alabama, North America and the world. That's our mission. We have to stay on mission and on message as we do ministry. That's why I'm grateful for our national conference, our missions conference, so that we can always make sure we don't drift to valid ministry initiatives to make them our mission. Our mission is right. Our mission must continue to be this great commission where we're focused upon. And by the way, he not only keeps repeating the mission in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, he then gives a whole book to show us the mission, how it's to be implemented. And so you got the book of Acts, where 33 years of what's happening in the body of Christ is being unfolded. And we see the great commission in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 through chapter 8. And then we see the great commission in Judea and Samaria, Acts chapter 9 through 12. And then we see the great commission in Acts chapter 13 Acts 13 through Acts 28. And so here's the great commission in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and then to the world. And then comes this great statement. These people have turned the whole world upside down. Less than 25 years after Jesus gave the mission, less than 25 years later, an opponent in Europe utters in frustration, "These people have turned the world upside down." Now, I love how they did it. And let me just go ahead and tell you, I know one of the reasons that we don't get 100% of faith promise commitments is because a lot of our folks, and rightly so, you're perfectly free in Christian liberty to do this. Your giving beyond your tithe is going just directly to various agencies. And you don't do your missions giving through the Briarwood Faith Promise and Missionary Endeavor. Well, Cindy and I do it too, by the way. So I certainly understand that. We kind of have our tithe, and then we have our faith promise giving, and then we have even beyond that that we'll do beyond that. But I will confess this, the ones that I do beyond my faith promise giving are actually people that are already are agencies and missionaries that are already on our mission. And let me tell you why. One of the things I love about our missions team, and by the way, here's another parenthesis. You see, when we get to 2 weeks from now, what we want to ask God to do by the power of the Holy Spirit is that we will have a congregation that has been led to pray for world missions. I do not know where that's going to lead you. I don't know whether you're going to take the entire missionary staff of Briarwood and pray through them systematically. I do not know whether you're going to, because those global glimpses are going to be areas of the world where we're working. You may just get to, that Asia and Pacific thing, that's my heart. Or you may become, Europe may become your heart. And you may focus your intercessory prayers in one particular area. I don't know. Listen, we just look for the Holy Spirit to bring the tapestry of God's providence and your commitments to intercessory prayer, however the Lord leads you. And then your faith promise giving and how the Lord leads you, and then how we can accomplish it to do what? Here's what we're going to do with it. We're just going to do what they did in the book of Acts. When they went to a city, they did evangelism and discipleship. So everybody we send out, they've got to be committed to evangelism and discipleship. And then they planted a church. We're going to do church planting and strengthening churches, church revitalization. And we're going to, what else did they do when they went to a city? They did evangelism and discipleship. They planted or strengthened the church. And then they did gospel deeds of love and mercy. We're going to do those. And then we're going to multiply and mobilize leaders, because they never left a church without leaving good leadership in its place. That's everything we're going to do. It's got to, everybody we're sending has to do one or all four of those things. And by the way, the big focus is on church planting and church revitalization. Why? Because when we come back home from a mission field, we're back home. But when you planted a church, they're there 24/7, 52 weeks out of the year. And now we got a partner to always work with year after year after year. So that's our priority. And by the way, another thing I'm praying for is that some of you young couples, God's going to move upon you to join our global missions team. The team grew this year, but I'm not only praying it'll grow this coming year, I'm going to pray that some of you young couples will sense, I may not be the sent one overseas, but I can be a sender and oversee our sending. And we need that kind of leadership. So maybe God is calling you to do that, to be a part of that sending. But here's what you will do, and here's why I love to participate. One of the reasons why I love to participate is I know everybody we're sending out, I think the word today is vetted. They've all been vetted, and they're all accountable. What are you going to do? Does it fit the strategy? Secondly, are you doing it? We're not paying you for a cross-cultural experience. We are supporting you to go do evangelism, discipleship, church planting, church revitalization, deeds of love, mercy, and justice, and leadership, multiplication, mobilization. That's what we're doing. That's why I love to participate, because I know there's accountability. They have been vetted. They've been looked at. And now they're coming back here. So we try to get them all back here to meet you once every 4 years. You're going to meet 30 plus of them this year, so that you can get to know them on a personal level as well. But that's our mission, that and how we do the mission. And that's what we need to go do. But now then, and this is where I want to finish. Here's where I'm going to finish. You can't do the mission, the command, go do this, make disciples with evangelism and discipleship, church planting, church revitalization, deeds of love and mercy, and leadership, multiplication, mobilization. You can't do this on your own. So then he gives a second command. Look back with me in Luke chapter 24. Let's look at this. Okay, I'm about to give it away. Do you know who preached the first Easter sermon? This is always an easy answer. What would you answer if you were 9 years old? Jesus. Jesus preached the first Easter sermon. And we've got his sermon in distillation form. Look at verse 44. There he is on that resurrection Sabbath, having talked to the disciples on the road to Emmaus that evening, gives his resurrection sermon. Now, of course, it's a Sunday evening service, so some people aren't going to be there, like Thomas. But here they is. He's going to preach the Sunday evening sermon, and it's a resurrection service. And he preaches a sermon. This is what he said. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." Now, that's an interesting phrase. These are my words. I'm about to give you a sermon. And by the way, I've been preaching this sermon since I've been with you. Now, by the way, also notice something. He says, since I have still been with you. Now, what does he mean, since I was with you? Because where is he right now when he's talking to them? This is obvious. OK, don't try to look too deep here. No allegorical meaning here. So he says, this is what I preached to you while I was still with you. And now he's saying what? He said, this is what I preached when I was still with you. Well, where is he when he's preaching this to them now? He's with them. And by the way, when he ascends, he's going to send the Holy Spirit so that he will be with them until the end of the age. So let me finish the sentence for you. These are the things that I taught you while I was still with you accomplishing my mission, which I just accomplished 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And now I'm risen. All along to lead up to that cross, all along I kept telling you, see that Old Testament? Everything written back there by Moses, the first five books, in the law, in the prophets, everything pointed not only to me, it pointed to me going to that cross to save my people from their sins and coming out of that grave in victory. Everything pointed to that. Do you remember when you were looking back there and you saw and we looked at the prophecies? All of those prophecies have been fulfilled in me when I went to that cross and came out of that grave. See the way he says it? He says this, I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written. Now, what scriptures is he explaining? The Old Testament. Thus it is written. It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day arise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Stop right there. So he said this. He said, do you remember I was teaching all the time? 3 years we stopped at sermon after sermon. We were up on a mountain. We were down in a valley. We were over in a garden. We were in the temple, and I would open the scriptures and I would teach this to you. And I kept telling you that everything seen in the Scriptures is fulfilled in me. All of the prophecies, all of the promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And when they're amen in me, then I will accomplish them at the cross. And then on the third day, I'll rise again in triumph, proclaiming all has been accomplished to the glory of the Father and the salvation of His people. Everything was back there. All of those promises, all of those prophecies. You remember those sin offerings? They were pointing to me. Remember that temple? It was pointing to me. Remember circumcision? That was pointing to me. Remember the Passover? That was pointing to me. Remember the offerings? That was pointing to me. Remember the law of God? That was pointing to me. Remember the presence of the Shekinah glory of God? That was pointing to me. Everything back there was pointing to me to go to that cross to save you from your sins. And you are witnesses of the triumph. I am risen. I am risen. I love it, that phrase. He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Can you imagine what that must be? Oh my goodness, that's the Old Testament? Wow. Oh, this thing just went from 2D to 3D. Went from black and white to color. Wow. Everything is pointing to Him. Everything is fulfilled in Him. And it all came to glorious. Can you imagine this? Just 3 days ago, it came to fulfillment. And 3 days later, there He stands, our victorious Savior. And He said, now this gospel is to be preached to all the nations. By the way, that also is not a New Testament phenomena. That was in the Old Testament. Do you remember when God's grace reached down to Noah and He gave him a covenantal sign? And what was that sign? That sign was what? A rainbow. Where did the rainbow go? From horizon to horizon. God's grace was to go to the whole world. Do you remember when He said to Abraham, I'll be a God to you and to your seed after you. And in you, Abraham, will come the seed, and that seed will bless all the nations. The fact that Israel rejected Him did not stop God's plan. And He said, well, since they won't receive me, I'll go to the nations. No, His plan all along was through that nation to bring the victorious Savior, to send the news to all the nations. That's always been His plan. Now go and preach the gospel to all the nations. But by the way, first step, Jerusalem. Then Judea and Samaria, then to the othermost part of the world. And then, after He says that, He then gives a mandate. Don't go until you stay. Look at that last verse. Let me just finish it with this. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. In other words, don't go do the mission until, don't go do the mission for the Father without the promise of the Father. Don't go do the mission for the Father, which I have secured at the cross in triumph in the resurrection. Don't go do it until the same Spirit that was sent by the Father to me is sent by the Father through me to you. Why? Please leave with this. The Christian life in general, our mission as the church in particular, is not doable without Him. It is not doable without the Christ secured and sent resource of Holy Spirit, who, don't you love this language? Clothes us with power on high. He wraps us and anoints us for the mission. So what is the mission? Go and make disciples, beginning and then going to all the world, beginning in Jerusalem, going to all the world. What is the mandate? wait for the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? The Father promised His Son to save us from our sins. The Father promised the Holy Spirit to be upon the Son. And now the Father promises in the name of the exalted, victorious Son to send that same Spirit upon the body of Christ and upon His people to go do the mission. And He will clothe you with the power, because this mission is not possible without His power. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to you, Christ is in you. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, my power clothes you. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, my mission that is impossible now becomes more than possible. It will be done, because I will be with you to the end. And my power is at work within you. It is my power that will go with you into that prayer closet as families and as marital, as partners in marriage and as individuals. Lord, who do you want me to pray for? My power will be with you. Lord, what do you want to give through me? My power will be with you. Lord, are you calling my children as cross-cultural missionaries? My power will be within you. Lord, are you calling me? And by the way, He may be calling you. This year, we're going to give you an opportunity. Not only, Lord, what are you powerfully leading me to do financially, prayerfully, and personally, but perhaps God's called you to cross-cultural missions. Perhaps God has called you maybe to take on short-term missions, 3 or 4 a year. Maybe He's called you to cross-cultural missions. Do you know where the two biggest arenas of securing those whom God has called to cross-cultural missions? Two groups. One, this is why we got a college missions conference going on at the same time. Come from college students. Students who begin to sense God's every great missionary movement has started with students. That God moves upon them. So maybe God's calling you. Maybe He's calling you to be a great Christian doctor. Maybe He's calling you to be a great Christian lawyer, a great Christian brick mason. I don't know what He's calling you to do. Maybe He's calling you to cross-cultural missions. Or maybe He's just calling you to investigate it. You say, Harry, there was two groups you said. Can I tell you the other group? You got to go to the other end of the spectrum. It's you people that are about to get your silver and golden parachute. You don't think God lets you retire for you to go rent a condo and pick up conch shells, do you? No, He was putting together your support package. And maybe that business gift and ability could be used in a church planting team. Maybe it could be, I don't know where it could be used. Now, again, maybe a series of short-term mission trips. Maybe to free you up to be a full-time global missions team participant. I don't know, but He may be sending you cross-culturally, too. That may be doing that. But here's how you know, when the power of the Most High comes upon us. So here's the takeaway. I'll give it to you and I'm done. The mission of the church will be embraced when the mandate of the church is engaged. I love the way He said, go. And by the way, to go, stay. Okay, do you want me to stay or go? No, I want you to go, but I don't want you to go till you stay. And I don't want you to stay to stay. I want you to stay to go. But I want you to stay to get the power you need to go. But I don't want you to stay. I want you to stay to go. And by the way, don't let your zeal send you out to go without coming to me for the power. Because you can't do this without me. So come to me. Come to me and I will clothe you with power. And then we see how God does it. Look at the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a religious terrorist. Saul. What does he become? The great preacher to take the gospel to the world. Here is Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times in front of a servant girl, who then stands in front of the same people that put Jesus to death and said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God raised from the dead, and He commands all men everywhere to repent. Where did that come from? That came from the power of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 came to Christ. Where did that come from? That came from the power of the Holy Spirit, and that they had spent that time in prayer in the upper room. Clothed with power from on high, sends the resources out into the world. To be a sending church, we must be a depending church. And how do you know a depending church? A depending church becomes a sending church. You see their grandparents getting to retirement age going to the mission field. You see parents who willingly let their children go. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You see a church that says 50 cents out of every dollar is going to leave here for local, national, regional, and world missions. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I can talk about it because I'm inherited it. I didn't think of it. I praise the Lord for it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit moving upon people. That's what's happening. So, folks, we want to be a sending church. But before we go, we need to stay. To send, we need to depend. God, give us the power. I thank God for every mechanism he's put into this church over 51 years to be a missions-minded church. I thank God for every single piece of it. Conferences, homes open to everything. Faith for everything. But I know this. To do the mission, we need to obey the mandate. Go call upon the Holy Spirit. He'll visit you when you worship him. He'll visit you when you pray for him. If evil fathers can give eggs to their children and bread to their children, here's what Jesus says. How much more will the Father give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Father, thank you for the time we could be together in your word. Thank you for this coming couple of weeks together. I pray that you would make this a great spiritual experience in your word, not only as we commit ourselves to your mission and don't drift, we'll engage in all ministry initiatives that we need to do, but we'll stay on mission and on message with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, Father, we'll get in the game in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, please don't allow us. It's understandable. Our self-reliance and our self-confidence because it's been done. Help us now to say no to self-reliance and yes to the Holy Spirit. Give us a God-reliant resolve, clothed with power from on high. Lead us, Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.